This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. Now let's get on to the episode.
Welcome to the Counter Narrative Podcast, a show designed to change the way we talk and think about education. By sharing stories of successes and triumphs, we aim to challenge the dominant narrative that often negatively portrays our disenfranchised populations. I'm your host, Charles Williams, an urban educator for more than 15 years, a current school principal in Chicago, an educational consultant, an equity advocate, and the co-host of Inside the Principal's Office. Let's get started. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Counter Narrative Podcast. As always, thank you so much for jumping back in and listening to yet another episode. If this is your first time joining and listening, welcome. Welcome to the space. I am sure that you're going to enjoy this conversation. Make sure that you go back and check out all the others and, you know, do all the things, the likes, the subscribes, all of those fun things. But let's jump in. I mean, today I have an educator, as I was reading through the bio, right? This is one of those individuals who are out there doing some amazing things, but yet I've not yet had a chance to share space in person. We have not, you know, connected in this way before. So very, very excited, you know, to always grow and learn from new people. And yet we have very close ties. I was looking, you know, I said, hey, this guy is doing some amazing things in New Jersey, right? We got some people in Jersey with Frank Rudensky. We got a Road to Awesome publisher with my guy, Darren Peppard. And we will be sharing space in just a few weeks. So very, very excited for that. So I have none other than Jamie Brown on the episode today. Jamie, how's it going?
It's going great, Charles, man. I appreciate you having me. I'm so excited. I'm so pumped to be connecting with you as well, you know, just checking all the work you're doing too, man. It's just it's a privilege to be on the show, and those first two names you're rattling off, man, to just, you know, total rock stars, by the way, and role models of mine for sure.
I oftentimes say, like, when I first started this podcast, and it will be four in May, so, you know, it's been a journey. You know, and it was always interesting to like look up and see all of these people out there doing all of this amazing work. And as the years have progressed, I look around and I was like, you know, it's gone from those people doing the work to wait, it's we. Like, we are doing the work. And so it's incredible to share space with so many incredible educators. And so I'm looking forward to speaking with you tonight, learning and growing from you tonight. And like I said earlier, you know, sharing space in just a few weeks here. So before we go any further, why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are? What is the work that you're doing? You know, what brought you into education?
Sure. I mean, the story that got me in education was crazy. I was born about 30 minutes right outside of New York City, and I went to college to be a music journalist. I wanted to work for Rolling Stone magazine. I actually interviewed for Rolling Stone magazine a month before September 11th. I had a final interview after Labor Day 2001 scheduled. 9/11 happened, and the rest is history. My whole family are educators. I needed to make some money, get a job after college, and I kind of went back and, you know, got my education degree as I was subbing. And 23, 24 years later, I mean, here I am. And you know, my work is all about student leadership. That is my thing. I love to champion character education and empower students to not only drive a positive culture in a building, but, you know, they are the key to maintaining one. And that's where my thesis is.
Man, that's powerful. And I'm curious, you know, as we dive in and do some work here, I spent about 6 or 7 years at my last building. It was an elementary school. And there was a lot of work in that space around character education. And so I'm like, man, that we might have some more parallels here. So I'm looking forward to hear. So, you know, as we're thinking about tonight, right, and we're on this show that is designed to say, you know what, I'm going to push back right? On these dominant narratives that sometimes, you know, do more damage than good, or sometimes we just say, you know what, let me offer an alternative perspective, a different side of the story. So I'm curious, what is it that you want to talk about tonight?
For me, it's just changing the narrative of, you know, what it is to be an educator today, and change the narrative on how students are perceived as well, you know, especially for those who aren't in this space. But I guess just as much for those who are, you know. And what I mean by that is, I hope this conversation ends up motivating some who are, you know, struggling right now with whether or not I maintain being a teacher today because of, you know, how much it has allegedly changed. And for students today, you know, I think they get a bad rap post-pandemic of, you know, whether or not it is a good profession, and whether or not they can hold up their end of the bargain in terms of moving that needle in the right direction, which they absolutely can. So I'm here to challenge that, you know, but I just think that we need to change up the conversations a little bit and you know, move our focus and you know, focus on two massive leadership qualities that I try to teach in all student leaders when I work with kids, which is humility and vulnerability and asking for help.
So it's a really big topic, you know, this idea of like, let's have this conversation. So I'm looking forward to jumping in. Mm-hmm. And I caught the word that you slid in there, right? Allegedly. Mm-hmm. And the moment that you said it, I was thinking, ooh, I wonder how people are going to respond to that. And mm-hmm. it was interesting. You know, the other day, right, in one of my 5-minute messages, I was talking about a peer of mine, a friend of mine. We were talking about like funds of knowledge. That was that episode. Mm-hmm. But he is a contractor, considerably older than me, and he was talking about his experience in school and about how their goal in school was to give teachers the hardest time to see how long they would exist. And I was like, wait a minute, like those are the conversations we're talking about today. And you're telling me that you did this in the classroom, mm-hmm. like, you know, 50, 60 years ago. And he's like, yeah. Right. And you're right. Mm-hmm. So I'm very curious, because that was the story that immediately came to mind. And I was like, maybe it isn't so novel. So let's jump in. Like, why do you think this is an important conversation to have?
Because I think we're losing great educators. And I think we are enabling sometimes students' potential by just feeding into negative rhetoric. You know, I think during the pandemic, you know, or post-pandemic, I'll even say, you know, right after most schools started jumping back into the building and going back to the brick and mortar settings, I think it became real easy to feed into the pandemic has created this new narrative of education and this new type of student and a new responsibility as a teacher. And it may have in some degree, but I don't think the pandemic created, you know, in terms of like, you know, the mental health concerns, they were always there, you know, these emotional skills that were lacking for students, you know, that was always a problem and an issue. We just never had a focus on it prior to. So I don't think the pandemic created those things. I think it just amplified and put a magnifying glass on certain things that were traditionally been neglected by education and, you know, just in the masses. It's not a knock on anything. I mean, I think that it just now we're starting to have conversations about, you know, when you're talking about whole child, I think that definition has taken on a completely different term and narrative in its right self. And it's, for me, it moves over to whole teacher and whole child, you know. I mean, I think that's what, if there's a positive of, you know, what we should be doing here is realizing that, you know, it's not just a narrow-minded focus on kids. It's got to be a broader lens that we got to focus on our staff. And that's just not teachers. That's, yeah, the administrators too, all the way up to the principal, but also our support staff. I mean, you see it, right? Anybody who's in education today, no matter what role you play, from parent to student to support staff to teacher to administrator, you have right to say I'm burnt out. You have a right to say I didn't sign up for this. You have a right to say I'm taking on too much. I can't take on anything else. And you know, the same narrative for a student today. You know, they're struggling and saying, I can't do this anymore after being home for a year, maybe 2 years, you know, because maybe they liked that type of environment. They're craving that again, or maybe they're, you know, in repair from being home and being, you know, remote, because home to them maybe isn't really home. You know what I mean? So there's so many variables that have nothing to do with academics, grades, letters, you know, FAs, credit recovery, like we were talking about, standardized testing. Like none of that has anything to do with what transpired. And now it is a new era of education. But I just think there's, you know, people are still the same. Kids are still the same. You know, adults are still the same. We've always had issues and problems outside of school days, but now we're talking about them more freely and more openly. And now everyone's saying, all right, well, I think we have to also handle that, because now there's a fear, you know, from, you know, we're talking higher ups, you know, who make big decisions for education, of there's a retainment problem, a retention problem. And I see it every day, even if they're not walking off, you know, or I read about it, you know, you've got great people questioning, can I do this anymore? And that pulls on my heartstrings, and I want to help those educators, you know, rebrand their mindset to remotivate them to do what they probably already have been doing, you know, which is, you know, moving the needle for kids. And I want to help kids. And that's always been my job and my role, in every position I've had and what I've done in schools, in terms of, you know, showing and helping students discover the tools that make them or can make them great leaders, not only in their building, but in their community, and prepare them for the real world and whatever role they take on.
So Jamie, I just want to make sure, because that I'm hearing you correctly, and I'm in agreement, this idea that we, and I've said this to people, right? I think that we oftentimes utilize whatever it is, right, as a space to say, okay, this is what I'm going to hide behind. This is what I'm going to utilize, right, to frame my conversations or narratives. But what we're saying is that things really haven't changed. Instead, what it is it's been brought to the light, right? And I think that for many of us who have worked in, you know, urban areas, high poverty areas, like a lot of what we're talking about now, we're like, yeah, that has been our existence, right? Like it's just come to the surface for everyone. And so now we're having a conversation, not necessarily about this new space, but we're having a conversation about what the space actually is. And we are utilizing the pandemic to say, hey, you know what? It was different before, right? It's because of these things. And now people are saying, okay, well, if this is what it's going to be, I'm going to walk away. But what I'm hearing you say is, this is what it's always been.
It has. I mean, you know, it just amplified for sure, because, you know, being away, I mean, some schools were, you know, hybrid or remote for maybe 2 years, you know, and being away from that socialization amplified, you know, if you take a student who maybe was dealing with social anxiety or who's dealing with loneliness, or even a teacher who, you know, their world was going into the building and connecting with kids face to face, you know, that takes a toll on somebody. But in terms of what I mean is, prior to the pandemic, you know, students were always dealing with, you know, struggles in life and or school, you know, and so were adults. But I personally, I just speak for myself, you know, as a 23-year educator, prior to the pandemic, I don't remember talking about it so much and so openly in school, and having those be part of PDs, PLCs, you know, faculty meetings, conversations, and admin leadership groups, where we were also, you know, not only having the conversations, but trying to come up with ways and strategies to support our staff and support our students with stuff that had nothing to do with academics. So if there's a positive of what's come out of the pandemic, I do see that. And I don't mean that. I know it sounds wrong to say there's a positive out of the pandemic, and it's not what I'm saying. But if we're having the right conversations now first, that's where I'm coming from. That's kind of my thesis and my take on today is like, yes, we go to school to learn. Yes, we want to move the needle for kids. We want to set them up for success. But just like with kids, adults too, because now they are finally a part of the conversation as well. You know, we're worried about our teachers just as much as the kids. It goes beyond just a letter grade. And I don't think traditional education was focused on anything else but that for the majority. You know what I mean? And right. When you're talking about something 56 years ago, I mean, no one was talking about that stuff. But now today, it's like, you're talking about a well-rounded individual. I'm just talking about preparing kids for life, real life skills. And I think that's what, you know, is coming out of these conversations that I get to have now with student leaders, with my own students in my high school as an AP, with teachers, you know, whether it's talking about academics or, you know, where I'm suspending a kid for something they did, you know, now I'm able to, you know, have the right supports in place with my bosses about like, yeah, that needs to be a part of the conversation. You know, what I told, knowing their story, that's okay. I can spend more time on that now because now it's like, all right, yeah, we do need to know Jamie's story so we can not just keep suspending him or her, so we can, you know, get to the root of, you know, why don't they enjoy school? And I can have a conversation with a teacher, not about just why are so many kids failing your class, but what can I do to support you? Are you okay? Is there something not okay with you in your world where you're struggling to connect with classroom students where normally I know you would? And that piece has never really been a part of the equation when you're talking to teachers and when you're having conversations with kids. But now we're allowed to more so than ever. And I think it's going to open the doors for those who stay in education. I think we got a lot of newcomers in education who have switched careers too. You know, you got people come across and over from another genre, which is awesome too. I think that if a mindset like that can be adopted, I think it's going to lead to developing real world applications that are going to benefit kids so far beyond even just college level, you know, real world, whatever they decide to do. And, you know, building trust with kids used to be all you had to do, but now it's, you got to not only build the trust with your students and your staff for that matter, but you also have to inspire. Mm-hmm. And that has become harder to do, you know, again, because there's just a lot more on the plate that is being, you know, showcased on a daily basis in every school at every level. And again, I don't want to see anybody struggling, you know, academically or socially, but I do love that my work as an educator now has become more challenging than ever, but so more rewarding because of, you know, the outcomes that can come from this deep dive now that go well beyond the scope of a pen and a pencil and a Scantron, you know?
Yeah, you know, as you're talking, I'm envisioning, right, that this kind of a metaphor, I guess, if you will. I have a grandson. He just turned 7, you know, on Monday, and he loves it when I juggle for him. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll be honest, Jamie, I have no idea how to juggle. But when I have those two items that I'm tossing them in the air, he's fascinated, right? He's like, yeah. But if you take a third item, right, and you add it to the mix, my juggling skills become significantly worse, right? Like, so I'm imagining that, like, we got really, really good at doing school, right, when we weren't incorporating all the things. But now that we're incorporating more, as we're adding more balls to the juggle, it's becoming harder and harder and harder to maintain that rhythm, to maintain all of those pieces. So I'm definitely hearing you. And I don't think that this is just, you know, an education, you know, depending on when you're listening to this episode, I just, you know, dropped a tweet yesterday about an article that I read about physicians experiencing the exact same thing, right? So I think that as we are becoming more and more and more aware, as we're uncovering more and more and more, and we're trying to ensure that we are taking care of all of these additional facets, right? I think our understanding, our awareness, our knowledge of them is expanding at a much more rapid pace than our ability to actually respond to them. And so I'm curious for the people who are listening, right? It might be an aha, like this might be the thing. Jamie might be onto something here, right? That's why I'm tired. That's why I'm exhausted. That's why I'm feeling burnt out. It's not because the space around me has changed, but it's because suddenly, right, there's all these other things that I'm also incorporating, right? And we only have so much bandwidth, right? We only have so much capacity. And so I'm curious, in the work that you've done, for people who are listening to this, like, what can I do, right? How can I make sure that we're still addressing all of these things, but at the same time, not exceeding my own, you know, and acknowledging the limited bandwidth that I as a human being naturally have?
100%. And I will start right there, because as an administrator, I always am crystal clear with anybody I come in contact with during the day, whether you're, again, a teacher, support staff, every adult in the building. I tell them the same thing. You have to take care of yourself first. If you're in a position where your responsibility is to take care of other people. So all my teachers, you have to be living a healthy lifestyle in terms of balance. It doesn't mean you can't take stuff home with you. But I always jokingly give the line to my teachers, listen, all that problem with that student, with that class, with that test that you just gave that didn't work, that lesson that you know you felt wasn't great, that problem is going to be there tomorrow for you, mm-hmm. picking up the pieces, just like as an AP. That discipline handbook, it's going to be filled up tomorrow. I just emptied it today. There'll be something in there tomorrow. Like it is what it is. You know, you just know it comes with the territory. But when I go home, if you don't have that balance and you don't focus on you and do the things that you love to do, there has to be a disconnect to where you reboot, you recharge. You know, you're talking about bandwidth. You want to make that analogy. Like that battery is going to be dead if you just go, 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 you know? And I'm sure it's hard. I'm not a principal. I'm an AP. I'm sure as a principal, it's probably a little bit easier said than done to do that sometimes. But even for a principal, like you have to, because you're not going to be able to lead and inspire others to become leaders if you're not giving them 100% every day you're in the building. So when I go home, it is so easy for me to, the second I pull in my driveway, I go into dad mode. I go into husband mode. I go into friend mode. You know, and that's it. Whether I want to watch TV, whether I want to go to dinner with my family, I want to ride my bike with my daughter, take her to a swim practice. I don't think about any of my problems. It's taken me a long time to get there, but you have to do that first. So you don't take that stuff home with you, because that's where I see a lot of, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. Some people struggle with that, and then I appreciate it. It is passion, but that's where the burnout comes in real quick. And, you know, the flame is no longer lit. But part two of that is, if you're struggling with students, if you're struggling with the job itself, today's educational landscape, you are going to have to put in extra work that maybe wasn't required prior or wasn't a priority for education or educators in the space for traditional education. You have to today. But if you do, I can promise, because I've lived it myself, I've seen it, I'm seeing it today in the place I'm at, the rewards will be far greater than anything any of us old timers like myself who have been in the game for 20 plus years. The rewards are so much greater than some of the stuff I did 20 years ago, because I'm working harder. It is a challenge. It's different. Students are different. Everything's immediate for them because they live their lives in the digital, you know, on social. So they want everything now. And that is hard for an educator to make that connection right now. And if you don't, it's like, I'm done. You know, this is the same, you know, Dave Burgess calls it the sea of sameness. I walk into your class, it looks exactly like the next class and nothing's different. And you're teaching me the same way everyone always has. I'm done with school. I'm not doing it, because I can go on a phone at 15. And that's what was discovered in COVID. And I think that's why it's hard for us as educators to connect sometimes. There were teenagers, middle schoolers, making thousands and thousands of dollars, whether it was on NFTs, cryptocurrency, or, you know, selling stuff on eBay and whatnot, you know. So they're looking at it, why do I got to go to school if I'm making more than my teacher? during the pandemic. So there's so many different angles. So as an educator, as someone who's talking about curriculum, you know, that's why we're having these conversations too. Like, that all has to be different if you want to keep the kids interested and also keep the educators different. So keeping yourself fresh. I know I'm going on a tangent because I guess I love is you're lighting the flame. I can talk about this all night, but it does. Everything starts with going home, disconnecting. Whoever you consider family, whatever your family life is, and if it's just you, you're single, all good. Taking care of you, and then coming back the next day, and building authentic relationships. It cannot be fake, because now today's. I'm a high school guy my whole career, so my teenagers, they see right through that stuff. If it is not real, genuine, and authentic, they know it for a fact, and they write it off. They can tell. You don't care. You have to know and want to know and do whatever you have to do to know your students' stories. You have to see them and hear them. That's step one. Once you get that done, then you have to inspire. You have to motivate. You have to find different ways to teach possibly the same material you've been teaching for 20 years, 10 years, because the kid is different today in how they want to learn. Doesn't mean you're a bad teacher. Doesn't mean that's a bad student. It just means that you might have to reinvent your career. And to me, that excites me. That motivates me. And that's where I was talking in the beginning of this cast, is like, it's not a knock on anything, you know, what's happening in education. I actually think it's a great thing, because the same old doesn't work anymore. And those who last and withstand this, which I feel like that pendulum's almost gone now, that whole pandemic talk and, you know, that wave of 2 years students who got hurt, who were like maybe missed a year or two of middle school and jumped from elementary almost to high school. That's almost correcting itself, at least in time. Who's left standing as educators and who's left standing as students who are still all in, man, the opportunity to leave a legacy better than you found it is, to me, where else can you get that in some jobs? You know what I mean? Like, you can make every single day completely different and change the life of somebody, but you're not going to know if you're doing that unless you know the stories of, and for me, not just the kids, that conversation for me post-pandemic now is also for my staff. And that's why I love what I do.
So, Jamie, I love the fact that you're like, you know what, this is a time to go hard, right? This is a time to get creative. This is a time to go in, go all in, right? Mm-hmm. But I think that story is said so often. I think that the piece that is missing was what you started with. And I think that's what separates this conversation from most, was the fact that you said, yeah, when you walk in through those doors, you go hard 100%. You give it your all. But guess what? At dismissal, you turn that thing off. You go home, you take care of you, you take care of those around you, you do what you need to do. So that way on that next day, you go hard. And I think so oftentimes the message is just that. You go in and you sacrifice, you go hard, you go hard, you go hard. But we're never encouraged, or we're never taught, or we're never modeled for us how to turn it off, when to turn it off, right? And so, you know, like anything else, if it's going at 100%, all day, every day, eventually you're going to fizzle out. And so I love the fact that you share that other side. And not only did you share the other side, but you kicked it off with that. Like, that is the most important thing you need to refuel. So I just wanted to reiterate and highlight that point.
I appreciate that, man. And I want to say that, because I'm, you know, at the administrative level, I feel like, you know, in me, I'll say that too. You know, I probably don't tell my staff that enough, you know, but I really, really do try. I try to make that a narrative so they're hearing it from top leadership, you know. And I'm sure this isn't going to be a popular narrative, you know. I'm sure the people who might hear this that are administrators be like, yo, you're crazy. You know, there's too much to do. No, teachers got to go home and grade. And there might be teachers that say, no, I'm a math teacher. I got to grade 150 papers. I'm not saying neglect responsibility, but I'm also saying, if you're looking to piggyback off of the day before, I guess the best way to put it for anyone who's listening, whether you're a teacher or you're an administrator or you're a student for that matter, or even a parent, if you're looking to be the motivator for a student, administrators, you're looking to be a motivator for your staff, for your team, You have to make day one so memorable that you become the reason they come back day two. So think of it in terms of the day before and the next day. And you can't give them that next day opportunity and motivation, even if they're looking for it, if you're burnt out because you're taking it home. You know, that's just my, I feel like if you go ham on education, no matter what role you play, I say that because you're also going to find out if this is for you, you know, and I guess I can end that piece of it with that, you know, because again, when we were talking in the beginning about retention and what I'm seeing a lot of teachers who again, a lot who may be coming from other fields, can I do this? I don't know. This isn't what I signed up for. It's not like it was 20 years ago. You're right. I see it as a positive, but if you go all in, and at least one school year is what I'd say. You go all in, I mean, every day, and you use that advice of going home and turning it all off. And then you say, nah, this isn't what I want to do. I'm actually okay with that. I'll write the recommendation letter for wherever you're looking to go next, even if it's a different field. But I need my team, and that's what I tell my team every day when I'm in a department meeting with just my math class, you know, my math department, or if I'm with a whole staff, or if I'm with a group of student leaders, or I'm with a group of administrators, that's what I tell them. If you don't give me that, then, you know, I can't get behind it. But if you go all in, you know, just like a sports team, and then you say, just not for me, okay. Because once someone tells you they're out, you try to convince them to stay, you got someone who doesn't want to be there. You know what I mean? So you gotta make sure that, you know, you got someone in front of the kids that wants to be there every day, and you gotta make sure that the
Hey listeners, sorry about that abrupt ending, but apparently we ran into a bit of a technical difficulty and I was unable to recover Jamie's recording sessions, the closing thoughts. So I would recommend that you definitely reach out to him to hear all that he has to say. His contact information will be included in the show notes. So go ahead, check those out, contact him, and thank you again for listening to the episode. I want to thank you for listening to the Counter Narrative Podcast. If you're enjoying the show, please be sure to like, subscribe, and of course, share it with friends and family. I'd also love to hear your thoughts about the show, so please leave a comment or two as well. Now, I'm not sure what platform you're using, but the show can be found on Anchor, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify, and plenty of other platforms. If the show isn't on your preferred site, let me know, and I'll be sure to get it up and running. This podcast is also featured on schoolrubric.com, where you can find educational articles, videos, and interviews with educators from around the globe. Be sure to connect with me and other listeners by following the show on Twitter at the CN Podcast and joining the show's Facebook group. Take care.